अनंत कोटि वैष्णव बिंद की नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की सद्गो स्वामी की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद शिया द्वैत राधा शिवाचारी गौर भक्तबिंद की श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंदा राधा कुंड गिरि गोपदान की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुरधाम की गंगा माई की जमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की मुक्ति देवी की समवेत भक्तबिंद की श्री ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भगवताम की पिता गौर प्रेमानंदी ग्लोरी तुति संपत्ति भौती सौ ग्लोरी तुति संपत्ति भौती सौ ग्लोरी तुति संपत्ति भौती ग्लोरी चु श्री गुरु श्री गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 7th chapter, text 31, and we'll also read one more text, 32. Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yadunaivam Mahabhago Brahmanyena Sumedasa Prishta Sabhachita Praha Pashraya Vanatam Dija Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yarunaivam Mahabhago Brahmanyena Sumedhasa Krishna Sabhachita Praha Prashaya Banatam Dija Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yarunaivam Mahabhago Brahmanyena Sumedhasa Prishta Sabhajita Praha Prashmaya Bhanatam Dija Bhagavan Uvacha Arunaivam Mahabhago Vamyena Sumedhasa Zatatabaha Vaishnavis. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Yaduna, by King Yadu, Ebam, in this way, Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate, Brahmanyena, who was very respectful to Brahmins, Sumedhasa, and intelligent, Prishta, asked, Sabhajita, honored, Praha, he spoke, Prashaya, out of humility, Avanatam, bowing his head, Dvija, the Brahmana. Translation. Lord Krishna continued, the intelligent King Yadu, always respectful to the Brahmins, waited with bowed head as the Brahmin, pleased with the king's attitude, began to reply. So we'll read the next verse. Shri Brahmana Uvacha Shanti Me Guru Bhora Jan Bhavo Buddhupashitaha Yato Buddhim Upadaya Muktotami Hatanchinu. Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmana said, my dear king, with my intelligence, I have taken shelter of many spiritual masters. Having gained transcendental understanding from them, I now wander about the earth in a liberated condition. Please listen while I describe them to you. Everyone can please repeat. The Brahman said, my dear king, with my intelligence, I have taken shelter of many spiritual masters. Having gained transcendental understanding from them, I now wander about the earth in a liberated condition. Please listen as I describe them to you. Purport. The word buddhupashvitaha in this verse indicates that the Brahman's spiritual masters did not directly speak to him. Instead, he learned from them by his intelligence. All living entities who are inimical to Lord Krishna glorify useless material things and spend their lives trying to lord it over the material objects they falsely worship. Thus, the conditioned souls try to increase their duration of life, as well as their fame and beauty, by means of mundane religiosity, economic development, and gross sense gratification. King Yadu noticed that the saintly Avaduta did not behave like that. Therefore, the king was inquisitive to find out the actual situation of the Brahman. In reply to the king, the saintly Brahmana states, I do not consider the 24 elements of the physical world as objects of my sense gratification, and therefore I don't consider accepting or rejecting them. Rather, I accept the material elements as my instructing spiritual masters. Thus, even though wandering throughout the material world, I am never bereft of service to the Guru. Taking shelter of steady intelligence, I travel about the earth constantly engaged on the transcendental platform. By intelligence, I transcend useless desires, and my ultimate goal is the loving, devotional service of the Lord. Now I shall explain to you about my 24 spiritual masters. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmahyam Tadatishva Padantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the first verse that we read, it says that King Yadu Mahabhago, very fortunate. Why is he very fortunate? Actually, Yadu was almost cursed by his father Yayati, because he wouldn't accept his desire. Of course, in Vedic culture, one should always honor the desire of the father. But even in some greatest circumstances, we find that, like the four Kumaras, their father said, "You get married." They didn't want to get married. But because they had a superior purpose, even though Lord Brahma was not so satisfied with their immediate answer, by his intelligence, he could understand that they don't have to follow. Actually, their desire, their disobedience is authorized. Just like when I was a young brahmachari, my GBC told me I should get married. I said, "No, I don't want to do it." He said, "There are many Matajis here and there's no one to marry them." I said that. And I remembered that Srila Prabhupada had said, because one devotee said, "Prabhupada, what this is very, you say on the one hand all devotees should remain brahmachari." This was, of course, the old day. Now we don't say that so much anymore, especially in the West. And you say all ladies should be married. So how will that work? And Prabhupada said, "Krishna is the supreme mystic." And we see how it works. In any case, so then I told my temple president, even the Kumara disobeyed Lord Brahma. And I said, "I'm not a Kumara, but you're also not Brahma." So, anyway, he accepted my answer. But Yadu also, he didn't obey his father. And his father wasn't happy. But then he was pacified because Krishna, within his heart, didn't allow him to become angry. He became, at his next two sons, he became very angry. He actually cursed them. But with Yadu, because Yadu, he gave a good explanation. He said, "You want me to do something that you're not willing to do? You're not willing to take old age prematurely, and you want me to do it? So then I will be in the same situation as you." But the real reason was, and Krishna inspired Yayati in his heart just to forget about it, was that if Yadu would not have gotten married, then there would be no Yadu dynasty. And where would Krishna appear? He already had chosen. He plans ahead. Krishna plans ahead by millenniums, by yugas, by, And so, anyway. So, he's greatly fortunate because Krishna appeared in his dynasty. And then it says here that Sumedha Saha, he was very intelligent. The Brahman was attracted to him because he was very intelligent. He could see that it's worthwhile speaking to this king. Just like I made the point the other day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that generally renunciants don't speak to kings. Of course, nowadays we do because we're preaching to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's instructed us to speak to everyone. So king, doesn't matter, king, pauper, whatever. Also kings can, of course there aren't that many kings nowadays, but kings, presidents, they can help us. We look for any way to help the Sankirtan movement. So, Sumedha Saha, And the most important quality is that Prayasha, He was very humble. Because he was humble and he was intelligent. Usually, or not usually, but many times, people who are very intelligent, they're not so humble. And sometimes people that are very humble are not so intelligent. So when somebody is very intelligent and very humble, this is a good combination. Sometimes it's very difficult to be humble. Sometimes someone becomes proud of their humility. You know, I'm very proud to be humble because humility is good. It's good. It will get me ahead. You know, so someone can be proud of their humility. Of course, you cannot really be proud of humility, but this happens in Kali Yuga. All kinds of strange things happen in Kali Yuga. So, then, if we go to the next, so the Brahman accepted him. No. And the Brahman said, "My dear king, I have, no, as it's pointed out here in the purport, budyupashitaha. I have taken shelter of my intelligence." No. Of course, everyone takes shelter of their intelligence to some, but usually their intelligence is not very good, so it's not a good shelter. But in this case, his intelligence was purified. No. That kind of intelligence is very welcome. Devasayatmika buddhir ekehakuru nandana. And what is that intelligence? That it's one-pointed. It has one objective. And that one objective, as it says in the Bhagavatam, tasmat ekena manasa. Bhagavan satpatam pati. That with one-pointed intelligence, one should concentrate on the Lord, who is very fond, very favorably disposed to his devotees. And if one solely concentrates on him, then, and how do we concentrate? Shrotavyas kirtatavyas cha deya pujas cha nityada. We concentrate by hearing and chanting and meditating on the Lord and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says, no, satatam kirtayanto mam, always engaged in glorifying yatantascha vriddha vrittaha, and always serving him with great determination. This is how we develop one-pointed attention. Otherwise, bahu shakya hyanantascha. Otherwise, this is like nowadays, people have departmentalized intelligence. I have my family department, economic department, sport department, and a religious department also there in the background, just enough to give me an insurance policy. We generally see, people nowadays see religion as insurance. I won't go to hell. Just do enough so I won't go to hell. Just do enough so I can get some material prosperity, as it says here in the purport. What do they want? Mundane religiosity, economic development, and gross sense gratification. When Narada Muni approached King Pratinabharisha, he said, "How is your kama, artha, and dharma?" But he didn't say moksha, because he was so engrossed in kama and artha that his dharma was only serving that purpose. There was no question of moksha. So Narada Muni indicated from the very beginning, "I have come to give you moksha. No, I have come to enlighten you. Otherwise, your future is not very bright." So, this one-pointed intelligence, Srila Prabhupada referred to this verse many times and said that this verse indicates that one-pointed intelligence means that we should very carefully worship the spiritual master. And of course he said, Vishwanath Chakravarti, he quoted Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says that of all kinds of intelligence, because there are many kinds of intelligence, Krishna is the intelligence in everyone. And Maya, Srila Prabhupada said that Maya personally empowers scientists and philosophers, She empowers them. And they're very brilliant. They come up with all kinds of brilliant things that convince everyone that you should follow me. All kinds of technological wizardry. How can I get more gigabytes? This is the goal of my life. More gigabytes. More Gs. 4G, 5G, 6G. And so this is the purpose. This is everyone's purpose. Technological wizardry. But he said, of all kinds of intelligence, the best intelligence is that which is totally focused on bhakti. This is the best intelligence. And bhakti, is best executed when it is one-pointed with great determination. And that determination means that one should think, by the orders of my spiritual master, to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the 9 processes of Bhakti Yoga, especially worshipping His lotus feet. This is my sadhana. This is my sadhya. This order is so important. I could never give it up at any point. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, we don't use the guru's head as a stepping stone. I get some knowledge, I get some ability, and then I go on. Just like one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, so Prabhupada, I seek your blessings. I want to go to another spiritual master who can teach me more about rasa. And Prabhupada said, I give you my blessings to enjoy the material world. And that's what happened. Unfortunately. So Vishwanath says that I could not give it up in sadhana and in sadhya, either in any. This service to the order of the spiritual master is my very life, my very existence, and it is my greatest responsibility. I have nothing else to do, even in my dreams. Otherwise, my determination should be so strong that even in my dreams there is no deviation from this point. It doesn't matter whether I'm happy or I'm unhappy or I'm giving up material existence or I'm stuck in material existence. I will never deviate from this. And this was Srila Prabhupada's example. If we take the unlimited, wonderful, transcendental qualities of Srila Prabhupada, the one that he himself established as his accomplishment is that I've simply followed the orders of my spiritual master. And we can see the result. In Srila Prabhupada's prayers, one of his prayers, which was a Vyas Puja offering, he said, my dear brothers, speaking to his God brothers, that worship of the spiritual master is not a festival of fruits and flowers, but a constant dedication. Just like we have Vyas Puja, so people come, and a nice festival of fruits and flowers and all kinds of things and offerings. And then, generally, next day, back to business as usual. We go back. We have Jamastami fully absorbed all day long in Krishna Seva. And then next day, back to business as usual. So this is the unfortunate situation in Kali Yuga. So, this intelligence, we have to buddheyo vyavasayitam. We have to keep it very strong. Otherwise, as Krishna says, that it's very easy. Nashti buddhir ayuktasya nacha ayuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shantim ashantasya kuta sukham. That we can lose it, our intelligence. And if we lose our intelligence, we lose our feeling. The real feeling. And if we lose that feeling for worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there's no peace. And without peace, how can there be happiness? Worshipping Krishna, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is such an important thing. Otherwise, and of course Krishna describes the process of losing intelligence. And the first step is Dayato Vishayan Pumsan. We meditate on the objects of the senses. This is what you're finished. As soon as you start meditating on the objects of this world, you're finished. Just like someone can see a very attractive man or woman, and immediately they begin to machinate, to create in their mind, all kind. How will I meet? How can I, what can I say? No, how will I appear? What will I wear? No, a whole new. But if I wouldn't have seen that person, none of that would happen. No. So simply keeping the mind focused on Krishna, keeping our meditation on Krishna. Otherwise, then teshu sangha pachayate, then we develop attachment, then from attachment, desire, from desire, no, kamat krodo bichayate, then anger, frustration, lamentation, no. And from there, no, krodat bhavati samoha, illusion, and then from the illusion, samohat, no, samohat, smriti vimsa. Then we become forgetful, no, smriti brahmashat buddhi nasho, and then we lose our intelligence, buddhi nasat pranashati, and then you're finished again into the material whirlpool of desires and so many things. So we have to protect our intelligence. No? And Krishna told Arjuna, how do you protect your intelligence? How do you keep your intelligence strong? No? Tasmat sarvashu kalashu. At every moment, at every time, mamanushvara yudhyacha. Whatever your activity may be. No? Krishna's activity was to fight. Somebody's activity may be book distribution. Somebody's activity may be medical field. Someone else's activity, no, may be a carpenter. But whatever your yudhya, whatever you have to do, whatever your prakriti stani karshati, whatever you have to do to go through this material existence, then you remember Krishna. No? The first thing we do is offer to Krishna. Even if we're making money, the first thing we should do is give to Krishna. No. First thing, not last thing. No. Sometimes people have the mentality, if I have something left over, then I'll give it to Krishna. No. But this is putting Krishna in the position of a dog. No. With this, when you have leftovers, what do? You give it to the dog. No. If I'm too hungry, then the dog will have to wait, no. But, so we don't treat Krishna like that. If I have something left over, no, first thing. And that first thing means 10 rupees, no. Yeah, I'll give 10 rupees to Krishna, and then, you know, out of the 25,000 that I gain, I'll give him 100, no. Why 10? 100. No, it should be a sacrifice. It should be something that, you know, that, first thing I do, no, give to Krishna. No. And then Krishna will be pleased. No. And if we do that, then mayarpita mano buddhir. Then by that worship, our mind and our intelligence will become focused on Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that actually we cannot do anything with our senses. We don't initiate any activity with our senses. We initiate activities with the mind and the intelligence. Usually it's the mind and the intelligence gets neglected. And when we're too much in the mode of passion, what to speak of in the mode of ignorance, then the mind tells us what to do. But if one develops one's intelligence by worshipping Krishna, then mami vaishyashyasam, that all of our doubts, all of our misgivings, asamshayaha, all these things will be cleared up and eliminated. So this is the process that Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, and this is how this particular Brahman is thinking. Now the Brahman, no, by worshipping with the intelligence, although certainly intelligence is good, but there's actually only one kind of intelligence that is satisfactory, that is sufficient. Tesham satata yuktanam vajitam piti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. That intelligence which is given by Krishna. No? Krishna gives us intelligence. No? Just like when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in his Mahapraharana Lila, when he was revealing himself to each devotee according to their particular relationship. And then, after he revealed himself to many devotees, then he told the devotees, go and find Sridhar. No. So devotees didn't really know. Sridhar, he was so humble that even the devotees didn't know who he was. No. He was such a great devotee, but he was so humble. The only person that knew him was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu, when he was a student, when he was Nimai Pandit, no. Then of course Nimai Pandit, even with Kolavecha Sridhar, he displayed his Pandit nature. No. He went to him and he said, I want some banana leaves, but at half price. No. He would offer him half price. And of course Sridhar was very honest and he said, this is my price. And he said, why do you want to accumulate so much wealth? No. Why are you so interested in wealth? Because he was, you know, he barely made, you know, a few paisa, and he would offer half of that to the Ganga. And he said, you're so wealthy you can give away half to the Ganga. No. And why are you trying to take my money? I'll give you half the price. And Sridhar would say, no, give it back. No. And they would fight, you know, like this. And then he would say, no, don't try to cheat me. Mahaprabhu would say, and he would say, there are many shops. If you think you can get cheaper price, go to another shop. No, this is my shop. I always purchase here. Now give me. And so Sridhar would just say, okay, just take it and go away. No. And they would do this every day. No. Of course, at the same time, he was so attracted to this beautiful young Brahmin. No. He didn't know. He said, he always gives me so much trouble, but he's so beautiful, he's so wonderful. Just like Mukunda, he would also argue, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also argue Alankar with him, and he would be, you know, so frustrated, but he was so beautiful. And Gadadhar, he didn't like to argue. Gadadhar was so humble that he didn't like to argue grammar or all these rules. So when he would see Nimai Pandit coming, he would run away, but then he would go back and he would say, he's so beautiful. I can't avoid it. So anyway, Sridhar. So the devotees went, they found Sridhar. He was chanting. He was always chanting. He'd chant all night long. He would never sleep. No. And everyone thought that he was chanting Hare Krishna. And they thought he was just saying that out of hunger, like, Krishna, Krishna, feed me. No. But he was saying, Krishna, Krishna, let me offer everything to you. So Mahaprabhu called him and said, do you remember? You remember? And of course now he saw Mahaprabhu sitting on a throne. And he could see, now I know why I was so attracted to this Brahma. And he fell down at his feet. And he said, Sridhar, you are my great devotee. You have been my devotee life after life. Now I'm going to offer you something very special. I'm going to offer you the perfection of all mystic power. And Sridhar said, my Lord, why do I want mystic power? No. I simply want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh. So then Mahaprabhu exhibited. He all of a sudden, Sridhar looked and he was the blackish color of a tamal tree. And there was Balaram. There was Lakshmi. There was Anantadev. The whole sky was filled with Brahmaji and all the demigods. Display of unlimited opulence, and Sridhar fell unconscious. And then the Lord picked him up and he said, now I will give you the 8 mystic perfections. You see? You see what they can do? No. And he said, no, my Lord, this is not mystic perfection. No. I don't want these things. If you, then what do you want? I want that same Brahman that argues with me about banana leaves to be my Lord birth after birth. That's what I want. He said, no, Sridhar, you should glorify me. He said, I'm a banana salesman. How can I glorify you? The only thing I know is banana leaves, no, banana stems, banana flowers. And the Lord summoned Saraswati and he began to offer the most beautiful prayers. The most wonderful prayers. Because intelligence comes from Krishna. No. And then when he finished offering these wonderful prayers, then the Lord said, now I'm going to make you the king of the world. And Sridhar said, why do I want to be the king of the world? Let me be the king of my senses and always engage my senses in your service life after life. This is my only desire. And Mahaprabhu said, this is real intelligence. So this is how the Lord recognizes intelligence, not by your intellectual capability. Our intellectual capability, intellect is very important. We have to control our emotions by intellect. That is the platform of tattva. On the platform of tattva, yes, intellect is supreme. But on the platform of rasa, emotion is supreme. In the spiritual world, nobody is developing great intelligence. Nobody is studying all kinds of shastras. The Brahmins in Goloka Vrindavan, they recite shastra, but the only shastra they recite is glorifying Krishna. They're not reciting, how to get out of the material world. The Bhagavatam is full of all kinds of instructions like that. Srila Prabhupada said, for those who are still interested in material energy, then we have the philosophy. The philosophy is put in the Bhagavatam. But the essence of the Bhagavatam is the 10th canto. And everything else is surrounding it. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, the essence is manmano bhava mad bhakto mam yaji mam namaskuru, right in the middle. And then everything around it is to enhance that essential instruction to think about Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, to worship Krishna, to obey Krishna, and to be totally engrossed and united with Krishna. Everything else around is to support that. Everything else deepens that understanding. So in the Bhagavatam, everything leading up to the 10th canto so that we'll be prepared, and then everything afterward so that that 10th canto is not understood sentimentally, but is understood in the with real spiritual understanding. Because otherwise, if it was just the 10th canto and there's no 11th canto, with Krishna giving all these wonderful instructions, how to take all this rasa that has just been revealed, then how would we understand? So this Brahman, with intelligence, he can come to a certain platform. He can even come to the platform of understanding Krishna. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam explains, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates, how one can become a yogi, and by yogic practice, one can elevate oneself to the platform of Paramatma. And from that platform, if one is very fortunate, one can come to the point of meditating on Radha and Krishna. But that's not usually what happens. Usually people get stuck with their intelligence, and they can't go beyond that. It's very interesting that in this canto, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that when he's explaining Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttam Adhikari, he says the Kanishta Adhikari, the level of his realization is on the level of Brahman. He can understand. Although he's understanding Krishna, but Krishna is theoretical. But his actual bhav is Brahman. And the Madhyam Adhikari, his bhava reaches the platform of Paramatma. And the Uttam Adhikari, his bhava actually reaches the Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God. It's not easy to understand these things. The Kanishta Adhikari, he basically acts out of fear. That I'm afraid of hell, I'm afraid of suffering. Actually, the Brahmin here, mostly he's explaining how to escape suffering. Because intelligence can take us up to the point of going beyond suffering. It can take us to the point of going even to the point of liberation. But a devotee is not interested in these things. When Sri Haridas Thakur went to the house of Govardhan in Hiranya, the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, He went there and there was a big assembly of Brahmins. And when he came in, they all began to glorify Haridas Thakur. And then someone said, he chants 300,000 names a day. And everyone, they were glorifying him. And they said, please Haridas, tell us the goal, the benefit of chanting the holy name. He said, no, you tell me. So one Brahmin said, one can be freed from all sinful activities. Another Brahmin said, no. One can achieve liberation. And Haridas said, no, actually, these are byproducts. The real goal is developing love of Godhead. And they said, please explain that to us. How does that happen? And he said, just like the sun, when the sun is coming up, even before it's on the horizon, just that light that comes, all the ghosts, all thieves and everything are scared away. So in the same way, all sinful activities go away just by Namabhasa. And when one chants with a little more seriously, then even liberation will come. But when one chants purely, then one develops love of God. And he said, as far as liberation, devotees are not so interested in liberation. As Lord Kapiladev said, that salokya sarsti sarupam samipyaya kaptvam apyuta, that diyamana nagriyanti, that even if the Lord personally offers one liberation, then a devotee is not interested in liberation. Unless, vina mat sevanam janaha, unless that liberation will increase my devotional service. Otherwise, I'm not interested in liberation. In the fifth canto, after explaining the glories of Rishabhdev, that Shukadeva Goswami says, actually the devotees of the Lord, they bathe themselves daily in the bliss of devotional service, which takes away all material miseries and even can give them liberation. But even though liberation comes to serve them, they're not interested, even if it's given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Because they feel so much bliss from chanting the holy name that they feel no inconvenience by all the trials and tribulations of material existence. And then he says that actually, he says, Pariksit, you're so fortunate. You should understand, that you, O my king, Rajan Patir Gurir Alam Bhavata Yadunam, you descendants of the Yadu dynasty, you're so fortunate because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has acted as your master, as your guru, Daivam, as your worshipable Lord, and also Priyaha, the most dear friend, and Kulapatir, the head of your dynasty, and Kwacha, King Karova, and even as your servant, as your messenger, as your charioteer, you're so fortunate that Krishna has taken this position, and even though Bhagavan Bhajitam Mukundo, even though he's the giver of liberation, Muktim Dadati Karichit Smana Bhakti Yogam, he can give liberation, and he'll give liberation very easily to anyone who performs devotional service. But he doesn't give pure bhakti so easily, because then he's under the control of that devotee. He's not going to put himself under the control of someone who's doing devotional service to try to get liberation. No. And devotional service can give liberation. It can give us wealth and can give us so many things. But if you accept that, then you won't get pure love of God. No. If we think, therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says that the most dangerous thing that one can think is that my wealth, my prosperity, my intelligence, whatever I'm receiving is the product of devotional service. You should not, he said, especially wealth. One should not think that one's wealth is coming from devotional service. No. That wealth is coming from karma. No. Although, if one is a pure devotee, Krishna may give him wealth, like Srila Prabhupada. No. But first, he will give him trials and tribulations to show that devotional service is not meant for getting wealth. It's meant for surrendering to Krishna. No. And then, if you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna may give you all facility. No. I was going to make a few more points, but unfortunately, I have to go. My time is limited. No. But anyway, the main point is that we are not interested in liberation. So Sri Haridas Thakur, when he said that, Gopal Chakravarti, he was a Brahmin tax collector, he said, wait a minute. How can you say, in the Vedas it says that after thousands and millions of lives, one can possibly achieve liberation. And you're saying just by chanting this name, one can get liberation? He said, I don't accept it. He said, if you can't prove that, I will cut off your nose. And Haridas laughed at him. Everybody else was horrified. No, they were just like sitting with their mouths open, ready to grab that Brahmin and tear his head off. No. And Haridas said, don't worry. If I can't prove it, I will cut off my own nose. And then he said, actually, devotees are not interested in liberation. Because when a devotee, and he spoke from Shastra, he said that tat sakshat karanha ladha vishudhabdi stitasya me, that sukani goshpadayanti brahman vadam yuta jagat guru. That now, my dear Lord, that I have met you, the Supreme Lord of the universe, and I am feeling such great transcendental bliss by that association, that all of the realization of Brahman and liberation and everything else is just like the water and the footprint of a calf. And when he said that, everybody got up, and Hiranya and Govardhan said, Chakravarti, you're dismissed. And Haridas said, Don't be too hard on this ignorant Brahmin. No. Don't be hard on him. But 3 days later, Chakravarti, who was very young, beautiful, handsome Brahmin, his sesame-like nose fell off, his beautiful ears fell off, his toes and his fingers fell off from leprosy, from offending the pure devotee of the Lord. So, intelligence means spiritual intelligence, and in spiritual intelligence comes from worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full surrender without any expectation of personal benefit, without any desire for personal fulfillment, just wanting to please Krishna. So anyway, I'll have to stop here. Any questions, they can be at for another time. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri Nath ji ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.